Hi, I'm William Tullett from Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge.
And I'm Hannah McCann from the University of Melbourne in Australia.
And welcome to the Pandemic Sensory Archive, a collection of voices from sensory experts on the fate of the five senses during and after the COVID-19 pandemic.
This project has been sponsored by the British Academy, and we hope that you enjoy the interview. So just to get us started, do you want to introduce yourself and give us a sense of your expertise when it comes to sight and visual culture?
Yes, sure. So my name is Ruth Cummins, and I grew up regionally in a place called Wagga Wagga in New South Wales. And then when I was about 18, 19, moved to Melbourne to study visual arts at the Victorian College of the Arts in Melbourne. And so my expertise, or the way I come to this conversation, is as someone who studied art and is now an artist, I come to the conversation as well, I guess, as someone who's been a part of growing up in different kinds of or living in different, urban and rural settings as well.
Well, can you tell me more about what is important in terms of thinking about the rural and the urban for your art practice?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it does definitely feed into my sense of my interest in the poetics of space and the idea, I kind of have a very strong interest in, domestic space and domestic life and, some of the absurdities of those experiences. I definitely feel like I'm someone who's a bit nostalgic, and so I do often, even though I've lived in Melbourne for quite a long time, I think back to, and in my work, definitely reference things from where I grew up as well.
Yeah. And can you explain for the listeners like what kind of medium you work in and how that translates?
Absolutely. So I predominantly work with textiles. That has included in the past working with old, used secondhand towels, patchworking them together for, wall-scaled artworks, and also just, using a lot of found textile materials makes up a big part of my work. But I also come to work with someone who's interested in painting. I have found myself painting quite a bit in the last year, and have, kind of worked with that as well. So I think maybe that describes a bit of my work.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, and I guess that has quite a long tradition, like textile art in terms of kind of feminist art. Is that something that is connected to your work?
Yeah, it definitely is connected to my work. I think, much of the time I was in art school and when I was younger, I wasn't sure how to find my footing within the quite amazing canon of feminist textile work, but it's something that, I definitely welcome and I think is really important.
And I suppose if you're using like lots of fabrics and, those different materials you were talking about, is it a case that your artworks are not just visual? Like, we're talking about sight.
Yeah.
How much do the other senses come into it?
Yeah, I guess tactility does come into it in a big way. It's something that, it's part of the process of making in such a big way. That I guess even when it's looked at visually, it evokes that sense of the tactile, which is possibly different to some, visual mediums the artist might use. I think there's always a sense of, you start to think about how that surface feels when you look at even images, I guess, and paintings too, but textiles then takes on that other level, I think.
Oh, it's a fantastic point. Like I never thought about that really, like the connection between seeing, evoking a sense of touch, even if you can't touch the artwork.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's really interesting because I think Like often I've made a lot of work which is like, you know, takes on the form of being wall based, like almost like the way a painting might be hung. And so it's not necessarily being like, this is an interactive work, come ahead and touch it, but people want to. And I've worked in an art gallery as well for a number of years, and like if something has this essence, even if it is an image, people want to touch it. Like if there's something about it that connects with another sense, people will feel that kind of impulse.
Mm. Oh, that's so interesting. I hadn't thought about it so much before, because you think of artworks as so purely visual unless they're explicitly saying, you know, interact with this in a particular way.
Yeah. I mean, one of the favorite things I sort of took away from learning at art school was when we would talk about not just sculpture, but, you know, sculpture and artwork that takes on a three-dimensional form or like sits in space, is that whenever you see that kind of work, it automatically engages your how you relate that in to your body. I don't know. So, you know, standing in front of something like a sculpture, it makes you more aware of your own body in that space, which can be uncomfortable and a bit unnerving sometimes. But I think textiles is like, does this funny thing where, you know, the way I use it sometimes does sort of, it pretends to be a flat surface and pretends to be a stretched out kind of canvas or whatever, but it kind of plays with that, I don't know, that threshold of tactility and all those things.
And I mean, it really calls into question thinking about encountering artworks during the pandemic, because
definitely,
we haven't really been able to go to art galleries very much. And I know there's been quite a lot of virtual exhibitions, but what is your opinion on kind of how that changes our relation to what we're seeing?
Yeah, it was actually something I thought about before our chat today, was how you know, all these global collections even became sort of digitized and also, you know, made to be quite user friendly in a way they never have before, because they had to. And that's thinking like really big scale, you know, like the Louvre and other big collections sort of just sitting there and not being able to be accessible by foot. So I guess having this digital outreach made a lot of things more accessible in a way. But at the same point, like last year in the middle of the year, I was asked to be in an online group show with Bus Projects. And that, yeah, making a work for that and knowing that it would be on a digital platform, I think would be so different for every artist who was interacting with it. But for me, it actually was a really, a bit of a, like a relieving moment, making something that usually is so tactile, knowing the kind of endpoint had quite strict parameters, felt really good and kind of like freeing in a way. And I think that would be really different to different artists, but that was kind of my experience with, you know, making work for a digital space.
And what did you end up doing? What was the artwork?
Yeah, the artwork I made, so the show was called Future Ourselves Scenes. And so the kind of brief to a number of different artists who made work for it was sort of to make speculative work, you know, tying into what that title really says, like, you know, Future Ourselves Scenes. And I took it, you know, really literally and made a weighted blanket. So a blanket like those ones that, you know, you can buy online. They were super popular, I think, you know, in the last couple of years especially. I would get lots of targeted ads during lockdown, and they're meant to, through sort of glass beads or acrylic beads inside a blanket, the pressure of like, you know, 9 kilos or less, or 11 kilos usually spread across the body, is meant to provide like calming, like a calming sensation to the body. So to help reduce like anxiety and to help you sleep better, things like that. And so my decision was to make a work which was like pushed the heaviness a bit. So I used rocks from around my 5 kilometer radius in Northgate and embedded that in this like big kind of blanket that was made out of old clothes. So my idea was sort of like the future would look like, you know, we'd need to be quite resourceful. And so it was made out of like old jeans and cut up t-shirts and some other fabric I had lying around. And yeah, it ended up being like 17 kilos. So kind of a quite uncomfortable weight. And so, yeah, in some respects, that's like the most tactile work I've ever made.
Yeah.
In the parameters of a very digital endpoint that was really clear to me, and I could know exactly sort of all I needed to do to sort of install this work. It kind of took the uncertainty of how to install and display the work out and just left me so much more freedom to work on the work and be like a bit bold with it and really go a bit ham on the, you know, 17 kilos of rocks in a blanket, you know.
Wow. I mean, it's definitely not what I expected you to say when you said visual.
Yeah.
Like how does that come across in a digital space? Like how do you get that sense of weight across?
Yeah. So I'll send you a link, but I took 2 images. Well, I asked my housemate to take 2 images. He's also a fellow artist and a great photographer. And so it was an image of me in my bedroom, on my bed underneath the blanket, sort of curled up with my teddy bear underneath. And you can kind of see from the image that you can see the outline of my body, but you can see like the light and the shadow of these like little rocks inside the doona cover or like the, you know, the blanket surface. So you can kind of visually see the like weight of these little individual rocks.
Wow. It sounds full on. it sounds interesting, like pushing that limit between what's meant to be the comfort of the weighted blanket and the kind of, what's the word, entrapment of lockdown.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, how has the pandemic situation, you know, being in and out of lockdowns, shaped the kind of works you're making and what you're trying to communicate?
Yeah, I think the lockdown and living within, you know, kind of COVID normal space, for me personally, you know, it's been introspective. I've spent more time in my bedroom. And for me, you know, my bedroom was that space that art came from, you know, as a young person and sort of is the, you know, the birthplace of any kind of art making for me, and the home, you know, was that for me. So in a way, it did make me connect back to sort of those kind of like, you know, foundation drives of like why do you make work and like what's in it for you, kind of those thoughts, which were a bit more basic rather than sort of the things I'd been, you know, trying to read and learn about in the last few years. And I definitely know that's not the case for a lot of artists, so I definitely want to be sensitive to that, because I'm really lucky I work full time in a really unrelated sort of field, and that was absolutely not the experience of so many artists who did it incredibly tough. And so, yeah, for me, it was a space where I did have a lot more introspection, and I made work that was different and came from a way more personal space, I think, because I was able to connect to, yeah, a way more personal space and a space that felt quite genuine, I think.
And I mean, I wonder, because our kind of visual zones of our daily experience became so small during these lockdown times, whether, you know, that's changed what is being communicated visually, if you know what I mean. Like, it's interesting to me that the artwork you described before was in your bedroom, and it was, you know, you're in your bedroom all the time in lockdown. And whether that's kind of, I feel like I've seen this recently, you know, other artists doing drawings of their studios and like things around them in their immediate domestic space, like a kind of return to the domestic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, you're right. Definitely like touching on the fact that in terms of what we've been able to consume visually during that time, like was really different. I think for me, what I was like noticing was spending a lot of time on Instagram, like, you know, and a lot of time noticing my targeted ads. And so I'm someone who usually in my like art practice, I'm quite interested in the space of what does try to get sold to us in terms of how to better ourselves and better our domestic spaces already. But then it was kind of like an overwhelming amount of, you know, seeing like, I don't know, yeah, referencing digital images a lot and living inside Instagram, which is a really weird place anyway. But yeah, I felt like there were two specific realms. It was like the real immediate bubble of your household and that space, and then sort of the digital realm. In terms of visual consumption.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to think about that kind of like hyper local and then hyper global.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And I mean, it used to be, I mean, I'm going to show my age here, but it used to be Tumblr where you just kind of constantly scroll through.
I think it's a good comparison to make though, definitely. Because I was a Tumblr kid back in the day. But that for me felt like very bedroom born as well. Like the content that I would upload then was very much, you know, I was a teen, it was quite limited to like my house, my, you know, limited resources and, you know, if I was uploading anything.
Yeah, yeah. No, it reminds me of that too, that kind of teenage time where you're in your room all day and, you know what I mean? Like you're kind of in that space and you're producing things in that space. And, you know, now we've got Instagram, but it's much more, as you say, commercialized. You know, there's so many ads that come visually into our feeds every couple of seconds, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's also been a part of things for quite a while now, this sort of the way we consume information is like embedded with so many things we don't notice we're actually consuming or, you know, is very directed for us, you know, in or outside of the pandemic. Yeah.
I want to return to like thinking about the pandemic specifically. Do you think it has changed our relationship to seeing and visual culture? I mean, have you noticed any shifts as someone that's engaging in, you know, a lot of Instagram and is an artist?
Yeah. My personal feeling about this is that I do feel that like we are seeking more comfort from the visual things we're consuming. Like I think, you know, during the sense of the pandemic, I think we are, you know, trying to accrue objects that are, you know, pleasurable or enjoyable or make life a little lighter in a way. And I feel like that's a little like, and I know that's maybe not of all people, but in my kind of bubble, that's definitely been something I'm noticing is that even for myself, I've been seeking out, things that I would otherwise have thought previously to be quite arbitrary and, you know, like finding so much joy in, like for me, like I started making paintings that were just like bright colored little almost like studies of patchworks that I might make in acrylic paint, and they were literally, the purpose of them was to just make my room look nice. They were something I wanted to see every day, and I think that speaks about, you know, this thing I've seen with other people is that people are interested in having things around them that make them feel happy, make them feel comforted, and that's a bit different to what the visuals we choose to keep around us perhaps have meant in the last 10 years. I'm not sure.
Mm. Oh, I think that's a fantastic point because, you know, I remember in the peak of lockdowns, like just buying flowers or, you know, tidying up like a cupboard or a shelf or something. And like, I've never cared about that. I kind of have been the kind of person that just like camps in my house. But it making life so much better, like, oh, what a sense of relief that kind of corner of the house looks nice or something, you know, because you realize you see it so much, like this is where you are all the time, so you want it to be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, yeah, I think like another example I can think of is me and my housemates were so obsessed with, like, in the peak of winter lockdown last year, we like be just like not buying but just online browsing like comfortable clothing, like like jumpers and tracksuits and things like that. And we kind of knew we weren't going to buy them, but it provided some sense of comfort. And like, yeah, I feel it's quite interesting. It's something I'm noticing like in fashion and, you know, across a number of different things. There's a real return to, you know, comfort in a big way.
Mm. It's a fascinating point. I feel like you're really touching on some zeitgeist. What do you think the future will be of, you know, ways of seeing these things we're talking about in a post-pandemic world? Do you think it's going to shift things?
I think it's really hard to say at the moment. I think the closest I came to being able to sort of comment on that was probably last year when I was in the thick of at least Melbourne's kind of experience of peak pandemic vibes so far. And that was like my thoughts were very kind of optimistic and, you know, I felt like because it was so bad, you could really think about, you know, what does this look like afterwards? And for me, I was thinking, you know, that it had to be, as I said before, with that exhibition I was making for, that the future of, you know, art and even just like, you know, our space in kind of the domestic would be that we have to be super resourceful and that we would need to be able to deal with discomfort. But also I think, so that's kind of the two things I was thinking about, was like the need to be really resourceful and the need to deal with discomfort. In terms of how that impacts the visual, I guess I still do think that post-pandemic, it's inevitable that artists are going to need to be like super resourceful. We're seeing it happen, and I think and I hope it will continue that, you know, the commercial space is not necessarily the number one space for artists, and that, you know, there's lots of interesting artist-run initiatives in terms of, you know, collaborating together to make different kinds of art exhibitions and different kinds of studios and different kinds of, you know, collective action or making. I think that resourcefulness and using each other and supporting each other in terms of visual artists will be a part of hopefully post-pandemic life. But I can also see, you know, I can see comfort remaining, but I can also see as we move out of maybe a really intense period of the pandemic, more transgressive work coming back again. And I don't know, it's a big mixed bag for me. Yeah.
Oh, it's fascinating, this kind of juxtaposition between the desire to, I suppose, return to normal and surround ourselves with pretty things that make us feel comfortable, and then your feelings you're reflecting on at the peak of the lockdown, which was like sitting with the discomfort and being more resourceful and more thrifty and more, you know, like paring back what we need in our lives. And that seems like they're in a bit of tension because perhaps, you know, I guess people have just had such a hard time during the pandemic that they want it to not, that people don't want to sit with the discomfort.
Absolutely. And I think that's, yeah, you've articulated that so beautifully. I think like we all had really different expectations about what would happen when lockdown lifted. And like, you know, that what I was thinking at that time in that period of like, you know, summer until sort of we had a little lockdown and then now we've just come out of something that felt like it could get quite dicey. And, you know, it can again, perhaps, like we're seeing what's happening in Sydney and that all doesn't even, you know, come to compare to what's happening in the rest of the world. But like life kind of bounced back into not changing very much, you know, over the last 5 months of kind of freedom. And I don't know. It's very strange. I don't know how you feel about that, Hannah, but it's, we've just come into like the most recent lockdown again and sort of felt more close to the impacts of what the pandemic was and a reminder of that. And yeah, it's humbling, but then the bounce back is very fast and very ready to be there.
Mm. Well, I guess that's our desire to archive this time because, you know, how quickly we might forget. It's not clear.
Yeah.
Well, that's all my questions. Was there anything else that you wanted to add before we finish about sight?
No, I'm really keen to hear sort of the rest of the experts who've spoken to, but no, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been great chatting with you.
Awesome. Thanks, Hannah.